Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Houston, Texas, the most beautiful city in the world. And we are live tonight on this Sunday evening. And I'll tell you what, the sun has gone down over the Texas Medical Center and starting to get nighttime here. But boy, it's been around 100 degrees here in Houston, and it's been a nice, warm, clear day. But welcome to the program tonight. Now, this is going to be one of those shows tonight that I honestly believe you're going to want to call some people, text people and say, hey, you want to watch this live? We have a guest tonight that's going to tell the story and of his life, of his experiences. And in that, I want to kind of throw out trigger warnings that we may go pretty deep. So if you are triggered easily by graphicness or details of past abuse, I want to let you know that we would like to warn you of that and just beware of that. Also, if you want to get involved in the conversation tonight, 888-627-6008, we would love to have you call in. I want to apologize for my mouth a little bit. I just got this week Bell's palsy, and it's kind of drooping here on the side. My speech is a little bit slurred. Hopefully that'll go away soon. I'm on high medication to get that taken care of, but that just happened Monday, and we're trying to get that all worked out. But thank goodness that's hopefully all it is. So I apologize for that, but we're going to get to a real good-looking man here on the other side of this camera besides me. And tonight, before we go into this, the name of the show each week is Breaking the Silence. We're breaking our silence and giving people the opportunity to tell the story that they may have never had a chance to just sit back and tell it. And I think there's healing in that. I know there is healing in that. And we offer anybody that opportunity to do that. Tonight we're doing that in a situation that may be one of the deepest abuse situations that we have heard probably in the years that we have been on the air. But I don't apologize for this because that's what our show is all about. There's healing in this for our guest. And in that, there may give you the courage to do the same thing with your own pain and hurt of past. Because I found out over the years, you bury it, it will eventually come out, and it's going to be really ugly if you don't take care of it. You can't put this away. The best way to deal with it is to let it come out, deal with it, face it, and then the healing process begins. But tonight, our first guest ever from the country of Ireland that we have had on the program, James Carey, was raised in a family of genocidal psychopaths who just happened to run the Irish government. And he was sexually abused from birth until age 14 by his own family, by the Catholic Church, and in a child pornography ring. And he grew up in England under a witness protection program. And now he is back in Ireland to reclaim everything that he has had stolen from him, possibly his entire life. And I just want to applaud up front the courage, and I want to welcome the young man, James Carey, from Ireland. So James, come on in. Can you hear me all right tonight?
I can hear you just fine, Gregory.
Fantastic. Hey, you look great. Would you dress better than the host? You're in good shape. And I like your hair, and you look wonderful. Good to have you with us this evening.
Good to be here, Gregory. Thanks for having me.
So tell me, James, what do you do now for a living? What is it that keeps you busy, that you really, that gets you up in the morning and say, hey, this is what I'm going to tackle today?
So, Gregory, I'm in the process of resuming my family farm, and that keeps me very, very busy at the moment. I also rent out rooms on the family farm to help fund restoring it to where it was before all the devastation took place.
Is this family farm like the rooms you rent out, like a bed and breakfast thing, or do you actually have people live there in these rooms?
Well, it started off as an Airbnb, just as an idea a number of years ago, and I'm quite a well known host in Ireland, and lots of people stay with me on all kinds of terms. You know, predominantly people just kind of coming and going, but I've got livestock back on the farm. We got poultry, we got equine, and I'm in the process of restoring it to where it was before the atrocities took place.
Okay, so if I come to Ireland, I can look you up and maybe rent out the place for a week or two.
You could even have some fresh eggs from the chickens in the morning.
Oh, that'd be great. I remember those days. That would be awesome. So let's jump in to your story. And people here in America, this show goes around the world, may not be aware of, like, the folks there in Ireland. Does everybody in Ireland know this story pretty well? I mean, is it pretty well out? They go, oh, there goes James. Is it pretty well known?
Yeah, the people of Ireland, would have told me the story before I actually believed it. When I was growing up, the local community in Stamullen and East Meath, and various people around the area would have said to me, and even at school, they would have said, James, we can't go to your house. And at school, other children would say, James, we're not allowed to have sleepovers at your house or visit your house because your father's a paedophile and so is your brother. And our parents won't allow us to be in a house where we could be attacked like that. I didn't actually understand what a paedophile is. If I'm to be honest with you, Gregory, I still don't entirely process that word. It still doesn't cause me the same level of alarm that it causes, you know, people who haven't been through abuse. And I thought, okay, so in 2009, I contested the local election. And I ran as a political candidate to Meath County Council. And every door I canvassed, each person would tell me a little bit of a bigger story about my family that even I didn't know. And the overriding sentiment was how this went on for so long without any form of intervention or anybody stopping it.
Now, during this time, James, was you being abused and it was just so common that it was just the way of life for you?
I wouldn't know, Gregory, what it is like not to be disabled. I'm a disabled Irish citizen. And I don't know what it's like not to have these emotional disabilities. And I wouldn't quite go along with mental disabilities anymore, but certainly emotional disabilities. I wouldn't actually understand anything other than life like this. My mother told me, and court documents show, that I was abused by my biological brother, aged 6 months old, until she fled the island of Ireland and presented at the port of Holyhead under the Geneva Convention as a refugee, where she said to asked the British government for shelter because she couldn't keep her children safe from paedophiles in East County Meath and on the island of Ireland in general. And the British government took me in. We went to a women's refuge in Bliana Ffestiniog, and I was raised under a new name in a witness protection program, where I learned to speak Welsh, went to school in Wales, in did all my schooling in Welsh. I was named James Williams from James Carey to stop my biological father or brother finding me, because I knew too much. My biological family, some of whom I call family, but my predominantly biological family, were the government. So who polices the government and who polices the police?
Well, that's a question that would be an unbelievable depth of a program, because I think in any of these atrocities that has happened, like you mentioned, and it could probably go in depth then, we find out that leadership, headship, government, do what they want, in a lot of cases with no remorse of ever correcting it. It just happens, and we want it, we're going to do it, and there nobody does. So there has to be a system put in place that prevents this. So you were in England in a witness protection program. That was at the age of, you was probably around 14?
No, I had my ninth birthday in a women's refuge in Bliana Ffestiniog, and I stayed there until my mid-teens, where I would have lobbied my mother to go back to Ireland, because I didn't have full memory of what took place. I mean, there were doctor's reports, court reports, and the testimony of people in my village and in the local area, who were all horrified at what my biological father did to both their children, me, and other children around the area. But as you know, the way a child's mind stores information, our minds are designed to protect us, to keep the overall body surviving. So it took me a very long time to match the documentation, to match what my mother, Doreen Lacey, told me with my memory. Fortunately or unfortunately, everything she told me was true. Everything the community told me was true. And only now I'm believing them, because I'm re-feeling and remembering exactly what took place. And I am an absolute miracle of the universe to still be alive, given what they did to me.
And without going as deep as you want to, what was the abuse that you endured? Was it daily? Was it more than one time a day? Was it
Yeah, I probably would have been abused most days of my life, from when I was brought back from the hospital to our house at One Main Street, Duleek. I would have been abused pretty much every day by my biological brother, my biological father, and the paedophile gang that we say paedophile in Ireland, the paedophile gang that they were members of, which include clergy, an Garda Síochána, police, senior government ministers, leaders. So I wouldn't have known a day where I wasn't living in fear or having to act or give two versions, holding the truth in my heart and knowing what actually happened, whilst telling people who asked what my predators and perpetrators forced me to say upon threat of my life.
This pedophile gang, how many people were involved in this ring, in this gang? We're talking about, because you listed off a lot of different titles, job roles. We're talking about five, we talked about 50, 100. How many people were did you know of, not personally, but that was involved in? How big was this in Ireland at that time?
It was so big, Gregory, that it was only my mother and I. Her and I had to escape. Everyone I was surrounded with was either a facilitator, a perpetrator, an enabler, and my biological father was a massive employer in the community and would have been an extraordinarily powerful and wealthy individual and abused that position. My uncle was a senior government minister. He was affectionately known as the Taoiseach or the Prime Minister, who my recollection of Uncle Pat was he was an absolute gentleman, which is my recollection. But my biological father and brother would have concealed information from him, hidden behind his good name in order to intimidate children and mothers and fathers into silence, as opposed to reporting the perpetration.
How many victims, survivors, were abused in this ring during that time? You talked about.
I'm going to give you some statistics,
Okay.
Gregory, that are not easy to say. I'm also a patriot. I love my country and I love my people. These numbers are not easy to say. There were fields stolen from my grandmother, and in those fields, I am appraised that there are thousands of dead children buried in those fields. Maybe in the tens of thousands, which appear to have been an industrialized genocidal activity, which took place after the Second World War, right up till only recently. And the main reason I accepted the invitation to come on your show, Gregory, was because I am deeply concerned about the welfare of children in my community. And I believe that the more we speak about this and the more we get information out there, it does two things. A, I don't feel shameful anymore for the antics of other people. And B, it breaks the cycle and it keeps children safe and it protects them from going through what I went through at their age. And the only way we can do that is with as much honesty and speaking as broadly as we can on this topic.
Wow. Tell you what, my phone is going, my text and my emails are going off the scales right now, which means you're plucking a heartstring. Tell you what, we're going to take our first break. On the other side of this break, James, I'd like to find out more about the death, the genocide part of this, if there has been any kind of country investigation, any kind of situation there that it has been exposed, and is it for sure stopped? So we'll be back right after this first commercial break with James Carey. You don't want to miss these last two segments. We'll be right back. finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the three-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the BBS Radio Network. All right, and welcome back. We have tonight from Ireland, James Carey, that has just kind of, threw the gauntlet down with the story of what has happened with him in his childhood. And James, I want to bring you back in. And first of all, people are writing and texting and applauding you for your courage and your willpower and your resiliency. And thank you for sharing tonight. And I appreciate you sharing it on the show with me and with the world. And I know there's going to be some people reach out to you when you give your number shortly. So you mentioned fields with dead babies, possibly thousands. Was it, I guess I can't fathom that. Was it from ritual or sexual ritual deaths? Was it just a fact of killing babies? What was all the death from, besides just the abuse?
So there was ritual abuse. My biological father told me that my neighbors were involved with taking drugs, LSD, and I was warned off my own fields. He said, don't go down there on your own, because they'll kill you and you'll end up in one of their graves. I now realize what he meant was, they'll kill you, you'll end up in one of their graves, and there'll be nothing my biological father could do about it, because he was as guilty as they were. So ritual abuse, sexual abuse, rape, pedophilia, which was done in genocidal proportions. The Roman Catholic Church, my biological father told me, and it was subsequently evidenced, priests would drive from Dublin out to County Meath with children, dead children, in the car, and would bury them on Granny Carey's stolen fields. So, again, I didn't believe my grandmother when she told me this. I thought there was some row in the family and we moved to Wales. When you're going through abuse pre-age 10, you don't know anything different other than that abuse. So even though I knew it was wrong and it hurt, I didn't know anything else. It's only when I went to Wales, I had a flavor for normal living. And I realized what happened in Ireland was evil wouldn't even begin to describe it. State supported and state facilitated acts of Antichrist.
Wow, but you are so right on. At a certain age, you thought it was normal. I went through that with my very own abuse, being abused every day. I thought everybody's dad did this to them. And then when I finally figured out my 11, 12 year old, I realized, wait, this is something different. Has there been a government investigation of this, an expose an undercover reporting of this? Has it been broadcast anywhere? Is it documented besides, like you said, the court cases are evidenced? Is there been a movie made about it? Because this is so fascinating. What kind of work has been done to validate thousands of babies being buried in graves, in fields in Ireland?
So we are at a crossroads in Irish history. The people of Ireland showed a very clear distinction between the state and the Roman Catholic Church. Most years in the last last decade, in that gay marriage was approved, abortion was approved, and it showed that the Irish people moved away from the Roman Catholic Church. So we're only stepping into a period in Irish history where you can actually expose things like this without the wrath of the Vatican destroying every facet of your life. So Ashburn Garda Station in County Meath and Laytown Garda Station, they're all investigating this at the moment. I reported child abuse in terms of child abuse taking place in a disco or in a charity I ran here on the farm in 2009, 10, 11. They're still investigating that. So we're at the beginning of this story opening. And unfortunately, excuse me, or fortunately, because of the scale and because of the magnitude, and because of the lid that the Vatican has put on this, because of how it will make Italy look, it's probably going to take international media attention to lift this up to the surface, because it questions fundamentally every single facet of Irish government. Who allowed it? Who knew about it? Who facilitated it? Who financed it? Who benefited? Have the parents been notified? Who helped them to recover emotionally? My village of Stamullen, where I'm coming to you from, it's a village which is known for, and if you Google it, the baby black market. Nuns and priests would take babies off vulnerable mothers, and they would meet people at Dublin Airport and would sell babies for as little as 200 old Irish punt. So this is the climate I'm recovering in. So where do you start? We're literally at ground zero here. We have a Pope oppressing us, and we have a state afraid to stand up to the Vatican because of retribution and reprisals. But yet, my family were placed here by the Irish people to represent the Irish people, not to represent Italy, the Pope, the Vatican. And we have situations of mass genocide and children being treated like animals, whilst you have a guy in Italy who just doesn't seem to care.
Do you fear for your life?
Every day.
Have you been threatened?
I've been attacked in my home. Two of the perpetrators I reported smashed all the windows in my home. The sentiment seems to be that the An Garda Síochána, not my words, but people are saying they must be afraid of them or there must be collusion. Why aren't these people caught on camera smashing the homes of a victim of their perpetration of their paedophilia? Why aren't they in prison? Every time a question is answered, it raises another 1,000 questions. I can tell you what my opinion is, but maybe we leave that a little bit further on.
Okay. So when you return back to the country, what kind of courage did it take to do that, James?
It broke my heart I had to leave my mother behind in Wales, who was devastated.
She would not come back, or she's sick?
She was devastated with the consequences of what they did to her in Ireland. And she pleaded with me. She said, James, please do not go back to that island. Please. You don't remember what they did to you. Do not go back there. If you remembered what they did to you, you would never set foot anywhere near that island again. But of course, I didn't remember. I'd no real evidence other than what she told me. And I went back. And the country was changing at the time. They were preparing for the euro. Things were kind of becoming some way transparent. I'm speaking around me at the moment. And I moved back when my grandmother was here, and she was alive and she was living in the house. I think there were various heaves against my biological father, even within the pedophile world. I'm only learning this of late. There's a tier of pedophiles. There's the guys who rape children and view that as being okay. There's those who rape and hurt children, and the guys who just rape them look down on those guys as, well, they're really twisted. And then there's the one my biological father is in the category of, who would rape, hurt and murder them. Because in his words, it would cause more questions than it was worth if he gave the children back to their parents, severely damaged. So it was easier to kill them and bury them out the fields. So this is the climate I'm living in. So I was a very confused child. I don't need to explain to you the level of emotional and mental trauma that any child, haven't been abused themselves, and also living in a dangerous environment where it wasn't safe to talk about this. Who could I have reported this to? My biological father rented the house I'm speaking to you in, the farmhouse, to the local police sergeant, who lived here free of rent. Every time my mother tried to have a court order vindicated, when judges would ban him from coming to my home and raping me, she would call through to the local Garda station in Duleek, who would say, "We're very sorry, Mrs. Carey, but this is it's a family matter and it's nothing to do with us." The sergeant who was living in her home would say that, which was he was living there as a guy's bribe. So we fled a completely corrupt environment where I could not be kept safe. And we're at the cusp now, finally, of being able to open up everything that's happened here in the public interest.
With the government, police, judges, whoever you mentioned in that whole list of people involved in the abuse, in the cover-up, and the Catholic Church, what about the child pornography ring? Were they actually videotaping, selling these movies? Was there a financial gain that was made in this business, in this abuse that was being taken place? Were they selling these around the world, around the country? Well, what kind of pornography was involved besides just the actual abuse?
So I was videoed aged eight and under. It has been confirmed that there are videos of me being raped as a child by the paedophile ring in Duleek, and that those videos are out there. I don't know much about child pornography, but I'm told there's a place in the web, the dark web or somewhere, you can go. And I'm told that there are videos of me being, I mean, you're dealing with around Stamullen and around this area, you're dealing with satanic paedophiles. Now, my body has kept my story. My body's kept the score, but it still isn't safe enough for me to completely release all of these feelings. It's only, and memories, it's only this evening I had one of my perpetrator's sons driving past the farm, beeping in at me, having attacked me twice already in the past year with a gang to try to silence me because he's living on land which I own and he's trying to intimidate me off land I own in order for him to graze cattle there as an ongoing continuance of denigrating and disrespecting my right to safety, right to property, right to earn an income. The abuse of a child doesn't end with the rape. It can continue into attacking and belittling and hurting all facets of that child and that citizen's right to be, which I'm experiencing at the moment.
Do you have anyone else in your support, in your circle of influence, that is other survivors? Or are you doing this as a lone person, champion it all by yourself?
Well, look, you've heard how, I think there's some feedback there. You've heard how I've held my community in East Meath to the highest possible standards of child safety. Now, I cannot, as their political representative, where they voted for me in 2009, it would be hypocritical if I held them to those high standards and said, you betrayed me and you let me down as a child. If I then don't respond by keeping my standards to the highest possible levels in terms of child safety. So my mother said, James, you know too much. You know too much about what goes on in the government. You could bring the whole government down by just opening your mouth. And we're in Wales now, and they'll be more afraid of you in Wales because Her Majesty's government are listening to you. They're writing down what you're saying and they believe you. As I said, the reason I'm speaking up about this is to keep other children, to prevent them from going through what I went through. So, yeah.
Has this been stopped or is it still going on today, underground, still being, or has it pretty well?
Well, I'm going to give you some very worrying information to me. As you know from being abused, and you know, you spoke honestly about your abuse. You're dealing with a psychology here in terms of child abusers and pedophiles who gain gratification from ongoing derogation of their victims. So after being raped or having your name destroyed, I've had a smear campaign ran against me in national media in Ireland. They've attacked me financially. They've stolen fields off my biological grandmother. They've stolen fields off me. Linked into our fields would be national political powers, which they're also denying me access to. Has it stopped? Here's what I'm going to tell you I think has happened. I opened up an Airbnb. I think pedophiles booked into my Airbnb, caused trouble, brought tradespeople, they caused trouble. My biological brother was the executor of the will at the time, and he caused trouble to exact emotional and mental distress to their victim, i.e. James, which is part of the cycle and process of pedophilic abuse of a victim. And it doesn't just stop in childhood. I was abused as a child, but they're re-abusing me and re-traumatizing me as an adult. For example, they were in the media smearing my name after I reported my biological brother for abusing me from birth, saying that I was crazy, usual gaslighting techniques, disrupt, discredit, try and cause questions about my character, that sort of thing. And what I noticed in the public was the public said, well, of course he is as he is. That's what you did to him. This is the consequences of childhood abuse. James is recovering from everything you put him through. He's not Superman. If the same was done to these guys, I don't even think they'd be alive. I don't think they would have survived it. They certainly wouldn't have the moral, spiritual authority for survival, I can assure you. So is it still going on? It is my belief that, yes, it is still going on. And I'm being antagonized. I'm being smeared at a national level because I am a direct threat to the paedophile world in Ireland because I know all about them. I know all about their techniques as a recipient. I know all about their survival techniques. And I can tell you on this show that the paedophile world in Ireland are on their last legs.
That's great. I know I've talked to you a little bit before the show. I counsel a lot of people in Ireland when they call. And I probably that's the country that I get the most calls from, which is interesting. Tell you what, we're going to take our last break. On the other side of this break, I really want to have a one-on-one with you. I want to find out how you're doing, how you deal with this, how you cope, where you see hope and healing, what you need, how can we help? All those kind of questions we're going to try to answer on the last segment right after this last commercial break. Stay with us.
HCI Publishing that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
A lot of love and support coming in on the lines, and my texts are just going crazy. I'm trying to keep an eye on them a little bit. James, why did you choose this show to let this whole story out? Because apparently this hasn't been out like this on the media side in its entirety. Why now?
Because Gregory, I identified a lot with you personally when we spoke one time. Your story was extremely similar to mine. A lot of people think if they don't identify or if there are facets which are different, maybe their abuse doesn't qualify, etc. I didn't feel as though I would have to explain myself to you because you had walked that road before me in terms of the highest levels and the highest pillars of your community betraying a perfectly innocent child of God in the most horrendous way.
Wow. Let me just get to the gut, into the heart. How are you doing? How are you dealing with this? What kind of ups and downs do you have throughout an average week?
So I identify that a proudly disabled Irish citizen. I overcome my disabilities by I attend various support groups. I'm in ongoing receipt of therapy, which is essential for me to keep talking through what happened. Running my farm and re-expanding my farm gives me something to do every day. So feeding the chickens, making sure that the donkeys are okay, looking down the fields and knowing that I'll be moving my cattle back into them shortly. That all keeps me connected to my grandmother, who would have been a huge strength to me and the entire area over a very long time, over all 102 years of her life. Even though when you're in a family where you've got pedophilia and trauma and abuse, that relationship hasn't always been easy. Her spirit lives on here, and I can feel her spirit at my back saying, James, even though you feel bad today, get up, get out. Make sure the chickens are fed, make sure they're watered, make sure the donkeys are happy, and any guests you have through Airbnb or whatever, make sure that you show them the best of this area.
Is your mother still alive?
No, my mother passed away in 2003, and she passed away with only her friends knowing her truth and me, but I live on to tell her truth today and the journey that she the journey she undertook to keep me alive, to be able to tell you on your show what happened.
Yeah, an amazing woman. Your biological father's passed too.
Thank God he's gone.
That's a bittersweet moment, isn't it?
It is, because I love him as my father.
Sure. And people don't understand how you can do that, but it's so possible.
Yeah.
It's hard, isn't it?
And I miss him. I still miss him. But when I realize what he did to me and to other children, I got to stop that thought and just say, okay, he's with Christ now. He's with God now. And my heart instantly goes to the parents of the children who he killed. So, but of course, these are my people. And one of the biggest fears in the community was, they used to say, you're not allowed to go up to Carey's. You could go up to Carey's to earn money. We were big payers. You could go up to Carey's if you needed anything in the way of politics or anything to do with statutory provision or whatever. Carey's were a great family for that. But do not let children near that farm. That was the mantra. And they would have said, James is a paedophile, aged 3. This was the switch and blame technique that the predators used. Anything I said about them as a toddler, they would say about me. And the community went along with that. They said, well, his father is, his brother is, chances are he is. It has skipped me. The pedophile gene, thank God, has skipped me. And I'm all about child protection. This show, or if my actions, I've had to speak up on Facebook about this. I had to use whatever tools were available to me when the media were smearing my name and when the paedophile community were so threatened by me that they had to try to destroy my business in a time where I was just coming through the rawness of the abuse myself, the memories, the trauma, the waking up screaming, the confusion. What is love? What is abuse? What's a father supposed to be? What's a son supposed to be? Why didn't anyone do anything about this? The whole community knew about this, yet nobody ever came up to protect me or to help me or to say, hold on a minute, we're keeping our children away from Carey's. Who's protecting James from the Carey's? James is only 5. You know, these are questions that keep swirling around in my stomach and in my head as I go forward on my journey of recovery. And I would have a world of hurt to process, Gregory, still.
How? But, what was the biggest breakthrough for you that has helped you see hope as we turn this last couple minutes left on the program? What's been the biggest thing that's helped you in this whole process?
My faith in God and his son, Jesus Christ. They never, ever leave my side. And my mother, her unwavering faith in Christ and in God, I inherited that. And her love for children, I inherited that too. She reminded me so much of Princess Diana. She was always out trying to help children and to be there for children and to empathize with parents who had children who were abused. My hope is the more I speak about this, the more the people who contact me in my community will have the strength to come forward with their story of what Seamus Carey and John Carey and their paedophile ring did to their children. And the more we speak about this, and the broader the audience we reach, the safer it becomes for children to grow up in Ireland innocently, free of molestation or any form of abuse whatsoever. And because of my level of standing in Ireland, in that my background being what it is, I personally have great scope for national change, to be able to say, well, hold on a moment, this isn't just an East Meath problem. This is a problem which affects the entire island of Ireland, or perhaps the entire free world. How are we going to address this? What measures are we going to take?
You could be that one person that makes a difference in the entire country.
Well, if my speaking up has saved one child tonight in East Meath from being abused, it was all worth it.
Yes. Yes. If people want to reach out to you, because this does go around the world, there may be people in Ireland right now watching this. I'm sure there are. How do you want them to have a way to connect with you? What would be the best way for someone to get in touch with you?
They can contact me directly on my, we call them mobile phone numbers here. You call them cell phones in America. They can contact me directly on my mobile phone number, Greg.
And are you wanting to give that out?
Sure.
Okay, well, what would that be?
The main reason we've got this far as a nation is I have always been open with my people and always open with my community. I've updated them at every step along the way that what they told me as a child was true. And we do, even though we argue incessantly, we have as a country made significant, incredible progress in terms of social change. It's just happened so slowly. When you're as impatient as I am, it's happened so slowly. I'm saying this problem, this is an epidemic. This doesn't require a slow solution. It requires emergency action. But other survivors around the island have said, that may be so, James, but in order for change to be lasting, typically the slower it happens, the longer it will last, and then eventually it will stick.
We're down to about 30 seconds. if they want to get into contact with you, James, what would that be?
So my number is 0033 83 020 3435.
Okay. Fantastic. Tell you what, our time is out, James. I want to welcome you back anytime that you want to come back. I know you're maybe working on a book. I would love to have you back on that. And if you need help with that, feel free. I feel I have a friend in Ireland right now, and I appreciate you sharing your story on the program tonight. God bless you. And may you make a difference that changes not only one person's life, but thousands. Thousands. Appreciate it tonight, sure. Thank you very much, James.
God bless you.
I'd like to do each and every week, like to close the program, just letting you know, no matter what you've gone through, and I know this has just been an unbelievable story, a fascinating story. No matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're going to go through tonight or tomorrow, there's always hope. Join us right here next week for another edition of Breaking the Silence, live from Houston, Texas. Each Sunday evening at 8 p.m. God bless you. Have a great evening. Thanks, James, again.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525. Or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.